Can I summarize Calvinism? Yes, I can do that. And I'll be happy to do it for you. A Calvinist is a person who subscribes to the theological system that's called Calvinism. It's built around basically the theological beliefs of John Calvin. John Calvin was a Swiss Protestant. He was a Protestant reformer in the 16th century. In other words, sometime in the 1500s is the time of John Calvin's life. There are five main points to Calvinism. Four of those are totally false, and the fifth one is only half right. The five points of Calvinism are represented by the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. And those initials there stand for their five major points of doctrine. The T stands for total depravity. They say that man is totally depraved. It's a false doctrine that man is so totally depraved that he can't even see his sinful condition and call on God for salvation. It's true that all men are natural-born sinners, as in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Psalm 51, verse 5. That's true. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's true. But it's also true that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that God commands all men, as in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, to repent and hear God's word. Mankind is depraved, but he's not so depraved that he doesn't have a free will of his own. And Calvinists teach that man just doesn't have a free will, that he can't make a decision on his own. And there's hundreds and hundreds of examples of the free will of man throughout Scripture. Here's an example of just one place. Let's take 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 as a for instance. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Well, is it possible for men to do that, according to Peter's message there? Well, if it's not possible, well, then what sense does that verse make? I'll just stick with fundamentalism here. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me go back to Exodus a minute. I mean, these truths they're true all the way through the Bible pertaining to a man's free will. Was Adam forced to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did Adam have a free will? Look at Exodus 35 and verse 5. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering," and on and on and on. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Is it God's will that all men be saved? Now, I understand that in 1 Timothy 2 and 4 that we're talking about all men without distinction. In other words, there's no distinction there in that verse as to race, color, creed, or moral character. All men, all kinds of men, without any distinction. But in verse 6, Paul says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And that's all without exception. Christ died for all sins of all men, and God will have all men to be saved. So total depravity is just false. It's heresy. The U in the five points of TULIP stands for unconditional election, and that's a heresy that comes from perverting verses like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So they pervert verses like that, and Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. But what they overlooked there is that the predestination is not unto salvation, is it? All predestination is based on the foreknowledge of God, and the Calvinists just can't get settled in on the foreknowledge part. If you understand the foreknowledge part, then all of the rest of what Paul says there, it just falls right in place. Well, what did God foreknow about these people that he's talking about there? He foreknew that they would believe. In other words, believers are the ones who are predestined, who are predestinated in that passage. He didn't predestinate anybody to go to hell. The predestination that Paul speaks of is to be conformed to the image of his son, and that has to do with people whom God foreknew would believe the gospel. He didn't elect or save anybody. He didn't elect to save or to damn anybody against their own free will. Christ died for all of your sins. Christ died for all sins of all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, who's the world? It says that God is not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, if God is not imputing the world's trespasses unto them, but instead imputed them to Jesus Christ, well, then he's certainly not holding their sins against them. He hasn't predestined them to hell, has he? Not when he would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So it's just false that there was a certain elect group of people that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, before the foundation of the world, said, well, I'm looking down through here, and this guy, he seems to be a pretty good guy. We'll just predestinate him to be saved, but all the rest of y'all can just go to hell. It didn't happen like that, folks. The predestination anywhere in the Bible is not unto salvation. It's unto the fact that you're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and that predestination is based on the foreknowledge of God concerning your free will decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right, in the TULIP, T-U-L, you have the L, and the Calvinist views that as limited atonement. And that's the belief that only a limited number of people can be washed from their sins by the blood of Christ, because only the elect are going to be saved anyway, according to the Calvinist. The idea is that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the Calvinist idea is that the blood of Christ was only shed for the church. And like I just showed you, that's complete foolishness, because 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6 says that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all, and that's all men without exception. God would have all men without distinction to be saved in verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The salvation message is no longer to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but it's all men. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, and Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And all have sinned, Romans 3:23. So he died for all, and he saves as many as will receive him. So the doctrine of limited atonement is false. The I in the TULIP stands for irresistible grace, and that's also a false doctrine. That's the teaching that says God, the Holy Spirit, overpowers the sinner and grants him the new birth, as they say, without his submission or any kind of a positive response. Well, Stephen accused the Jews in Acts chapter 7 of always resisting the Holy Ghost. It's plain that you can resist the Holy Ghost. It's plain that you can resist the will of God the Father. God will have all men to be saved, but he's not going to force them to be saved. He doesn't overpower you and just stomp you down and forced you to trust Jesus Christ. The choosing, the making a choice, you're never relieved of that responsibility. And another thing about that is, that's true of salvation, and that's also true after salvation, isn't it? Well, and you can choose what you do or what you think and the way you act. You have a choice. Nobody is saved against their will, and nobody is saved without first choosing, making a conscious decision to believe the gospel. Now, the last letter in the TULIP, the P, it stands for, it represents the perseverance of the saints. And that's the only point in five-point Calvinism that's halfway correct. And that's not correct in the sense of it's not us that's persevering. Paul told the Philippians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And people like to hang on that verse and stop there. But what does the next verse say? For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, those kingdom saints, they have to endure to the end, according to Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But the doctrine to the church, the body of Christ, is that Jesus Christ endured unto the end for us. He endured to the end of his sufferings on the cross, and he died in faith. And everything that he did on the cross was done in our behalf. So we're not enduring to the end, are we? We're not persevering according to our own power, are we? We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and we're told to grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So they've even got a warped view of the perseverance of the saints. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, in other words, I trusted the Lord for my salvation. After that I heard the word of truth, the gospel that Paul preaches, the gospel of my salvation. And after I believed that, there was a before I believed that. And of my own free will choice, I chose to believe that truth. And after I believed it, I was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. It's the down payment, the assurance that we've got an inheritance. And it's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We're already bought. It's paid for, and it's a done deal. We're not persevering to maintain it, are we? So that's five-point Calvinism right there in a nutshell.